children of Israel, and will not forsake my people, Israel. Now, I want you to notice that God's promise to Solomon of not forsaking his people is a conditional promise. Again, you go back to the word if in verse 12. That word if in verse 12 alerts us to the conditions that follow. The promise of God not forsaking them would be invalidated if his people did not meet God's conditions. In other words, God would forsake them if they forsook him. Now, that ought to bring another verse in the Bible to mind to you. And no doubt this brings to your mind Hebrews 13:5, which plainly says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So most of us would conclude that no matter what you do, you're guaranteed that God will never forsake you. But I challenge you to turn to that Hebrews passage. Look at it. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. And I want you to consider something that we'll read in those verses. Hebrews 13:5. The verse says, let your conversation, that is the way you live, be without covetousness, literally, without loving silver, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I've made this point before, but I want to really emphasize it today. The writer of Hebrews is quoting the Old Testament, where we see the context in which that promise is repeatedly stated in Deuteronomy. So now to Deuteronomy chapter 31, where we will see where this is stated. And it's stated more than one time in the Old Testament. That is, that God would never leave nor forsake, but then there would be a condition with that. In Hebrews 13:5, it's not stated conditionally. It simply says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But when you look at the context of where it's quoting, there is a condition. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6, it's spoken by Moses to the children of Israel shortly before they are to march into the promised land and conquer the Canaanites. Here's what it says, Moses to the children of Israel. Be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now that's where we believe the writer of Hebrews gets his quote right there from 31:6, and even go down to verse 8, because now Moses says to Joshua, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, nor forsake, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. So you see that promise given, and it seems unconditional. But I want you to go down to verse 16. And God clearly says to Moses, and I'm going to skip some words. I want you to get the main idea. He says in verse 16, look at the last part of verse 16. This people will forsake me and break my covenant, which I made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day. Next five words. God will forsake you. How does that fit with Hebrews 13:5, where I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? God says, if you don't, I will forsake you. And so here, this provides the context necessary to fully understand the promise of Hebrews 13:5. Namely, that if you forsake God first, he will forsake you. In other words, He will abandon you to your ways. So the promise of God of not forsaking you applies so long as you do not forsake Him. Let me tell you something. If you never forsake God, He will never be the one who takes the initiative to forsake you, like we take the initiative to forsake Him. Never will He do that. God will never forsake you first. You say, well, how does that comport with the promise that the Holy Spirit will always dwell within us? Well, the promise that the Holy Spirit of God will never depart from us is a promise. He never will. If the Holy Spirit would depart from you, you would lose your salvation, and you can't lose your salvation. But we have the promise in John 14, I'll read this to you, where Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the Spirit cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. We do have the unconditional promise as believers that the Holy Spirit will never leave us. Never. But the believer who departs from God may be forsaken with His blessing. Now, we would think that of all people, Solomon would never forsake God. Remember, we were reading there in 1 Kings 6? And Solomon is admonishing the people of Israel, if you will just walk in God's statutes. And so when the Lord was admonishing Solomon, He says, if you will walk in My statutes and execute My judgments, keep all My commandments to walk in them, I will perform My word with thee, which I spake unto David thy father, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake My people of Israel. And we would think that of all people, Solomon would never forsake God. But if you're back there in 1 Kings, if you go jump to chapter 11 of 1 Kings, you'll find that at the end of his life, quote, 1 Kings 11:9, the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. So what we read here is that Solomon did forsake God. You know the story of Solomon. He forsook God. And so that brings to our minds this question, what can I do that I will never forsake the Lord? Because I know all of us would say, I never want to forsake Him. And that brings us back to my reading in the book of 1 Kings and King Solomon. I noticed at least three things that Solomon possessed that we erroneously think guarantees that we will never forsake God. And I want you to observe what I call these three powerless guarantees. And they all end with the letters age. You'll probably remember this because I'm pretty sure I shared this with you once. So that I've given these as a mnemonic device so that you can remember this. Three things that end with the words A-G-E that we think is a guarantee. Here's the first thing that we think is a guarantee that we'll never forsake God. It's the word parentage. Parentage. One is tempted to think that having parents like Solomon did, who was David's father? Or excuse me, Solomon's father. I gave it away. Who was Solomon's father? I mean, it was obviously King David. And you would think that having parents like Solomon did would guarantee that he would never forsake God. Was his father David perfect? Not at all. And yet David never forsook God. In fact, Solomon's father was known as a man after God's own heart. 1 Samuel 13:14, Acts 13:22. A man after God's own heart. And indeed, Solomon's own heart, this is what is said in 1 Kings 11:4, was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Parentage is no guarantee. You may have the most godly parents ever. That's no guarantee that you're not going to forsake the Lord. Have you ever known somebody who grew up in a godly home but forsook what had been taught them? I have, because it's in my family. Godly parentage is no guarantee of godly children who will never forsake the Lord. My little sister did. So parentage is not a guarantee. Here's the second powerless guarantee. Remember, it ends with A-G-E, and it's just got the word S, the letter S at the beginning, sage. Sage. A sage, according to the dictionary, is someone who was venerated for experience, judgment, and wisdom. Well, who's the greatest sage then in the Bible other than Jesus Christ? Solomon. That describes Solomon like none other. We read in the Bible that Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of this country and all the wisdom of Egypt, and there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. Surely this man, Solomon, who had warned others in the book of Proverbs about the importance of walking with the Lord, would do so himself, right? Wrong. He did not do what he preached. He didn't practice what he preached. Have you ever known someone who was very much sought out as a godly counselor who wouldn't even take his or her own counsel? You ever known someone like that? I have. So having the reputation of a sage is no guarantee of godliness. Two powerless guarantees thus far: parentage, sage. Now this third one, you're going to say, well, this is the guarantee. And it's just the letters A-G-E. Age. That's a guarantee. I mean, if you grew up all your life, you were in church all your life, you were saved at a young age, and you served the Lord all your years, it is a guarantee, right, that when you get to be old, you will never forsake the Lord. Wait a second. Who are we talking about? Solomon. It is specifically noted in 1 Kings 11:4, it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. When it came right down to it, Solomon was indeed set in his own ways, but not the ways of God. He, a man who knew that forsaking God was a real possibility, had once earnestly reminded others. This is found in 1 Kings 8:57 and 58. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments which he commanded our fathers. Have you ever known someone who seemed to walk with the Lord in their younger days but forsook him in their old age? I have. Walking with the Lord most of your life is no guarantee that you'll still be godly in old age. Now that is sobering, because you think, oh, that guy's been a Christian so many years, we can really depend upon him. It's no guarantee. So none of those things, parentage, sage, or age, is a guarantee that you will not forsake the Lord. There's only one assurance. And Solomon knew what it was because he had stated it earlier in his life. It's what I just read there. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways. It's a day by day thing. I walk with him. I walk with him. I walk with him. But all too easily we abandon this one assurance. It's found in other passages like Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. Here's what it comes down to, folks. Right now, today, And at this moment, you are either seeking God or forsaking him. You get that? Right now, you are either seeking God or you are forsaking him. There is no middle ground. There's no neutrality. And if you are truly seeking God, you are forsaking everything else. For seeking God and trusting God are linked together in Psalm 9:10. Listen to what Psalm 9:10 says. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Folks, if you are seeking God, that's the powerful guarantee. If you are seeking him today and tomorrow and the next day, if you are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, if you are seeking him, there is the powerful guarantee that you will not forsake him. And that's my prayer for all of you, that we might seek the Lord and not forsake him. Father, I pray that each of us would